Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In Greek, the word is ekklesia, the called out ones. In English, the word is church. And if you believe in Jesus, you're called out to be separate from the values of our culture. That's tough to do, but with the support of a local assembly, it becomes a lot easier. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe and the difference it should make. We come now to his ninth message in the series, The Church We Love.
The Church We Love. When I mention the word church, what is it that comes to mind? You say, well, a building. We're going to the church. That's the way we use the word. You say, well, maybe not a building, but a body of people called the church. The church is the body at the Moody Church, the members of the church. That's the body. And that's the church, yeah. But there's also such a thing as the universal church. Not that I believe in universalism, but the universal church is all believers in all countries. No matter what their nationality, no matter what their style of worship, but they've come to trust Christ as Savior. As a matter of fact, if we use the church that way, we're not only talking about people who are now alive, but even the church that has died, the believers that have gone on to heaven. It used to be years ago that they always had a cemetery around churches. And the reason for that was a theological expression found in the third chapter of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul says that there is a family in heaven and on earth, but there is one family. And so the idea was that we should unify the church by forcing people who go into the present church to make sure that they have to walk past the alumni association before they get to the undergraduates. Because the church is one. And that's the way I'm using the word church in this message, though I will be talking about us because we are a part of that larger group called the Universal Church, or the Church Universal, better way to put it. Now, what I'm going to do in the next 25 minutes with God's help is to take you from point A to point B. We are going to talk about the church in eternity past and in eternity future. The whole panorama is the word. The whole panorama of God's purpose in the church, right from eternity past to eternity future, all in 25 minutes. Are you ready? The text today is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to turn to it because it becomes essential in what we are doing here. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You say, should we love the church? Well, Jesus loves the church. So if you don't love the church, you're not loving what Jesus loves. Many of us love the things that Jesus Christ hates, and we don't love what Jesus loves. You should love the church. We should love the church with a love that is implanted in our hearts by God. It says, chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he may present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she may be holy and without blemish. Well, are you ready for the tour from eternity past to eternity future? Let's begin. The origin of the church. The origin of the church. Where did it really begin? It began in the mind of God in eternity past. Your Bibles are open to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at what it says in chapter 1, verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Before the foundation of the world, God chose us to be His. Now, in order to understand what's going on here in the text and what God's intention is, keep in mind that when Adam was created, you remember the Bible says that there was no helpmeet found for him, and it was not good for a man to be alone. And so God sought a bride for Adam. And that bride, who was Eve, was supposed to sit with him and not only to meet his needs, but was supposed to rule with him over all of creation. God says, let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. They were to sit together on the throne of the world and rule all of creation together. That was God's intention. In the very same way, what God did is, He decided to seek a bride for His Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, the Trinity in eternity past was perfectly content with itself. Because of its love, because of its communication, we noticed that when I gave a message on the Trinity, that the Trinity was perfectly content. But the decision was made that the attributes of God would be more clearly seen if there was a creation and if the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, had a bride, so that that bride could sit with Him on the throne, not of the earth, but on the whole throne of the universe, and rule with Him. So the whole intention of God, right from eternity past, is that the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, have a bride that He would marry, that He would sit with, and rule with in all of eternity. Do you realize, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you are in God's mind as long as God has existed? From eternity past. When did God show you grace? You say, well, God showed me grace when I was redeemed, when I got saved. Yes, but it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, that the grace of God was shown to us and given to us from all eternity. God was already giving you grace before you were born and before you needed it, because in God's mind, He had you in mind. And a bride for His Son is now going to become the purpose of creation. The fall and the redemption of humanity and the dying of Jesus so that He could purchase for Himself a bride is now going to be the focal point of all that God is up to. Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is now going to be the basis upon which all of the purposes of God are going to come together, because God says, I want my Son to have a bride to rule with Him over the throne of the universe. That's what God is going to pursue. By the way, isn't that wonderful that God knew you from eternity past and that you were already in His mind as long as He existed? One day, my wife and I were driving along with an older couple, and they showed us the cemetery plots. They said, we have plots in this cemetery just over there. I think it's good, by the way, to buy cemetery plots, because the statistics on death are very impressive. But she said this. She said, I wonder if God will remember where we are buried. Now, if you're Jones or Smith, He might get you confused. Yes, God will remember. The Bible says He calls His own sheep by name. When you arrive in heaven, He'll remember your name and He'll get it right. He'll know how to pronounce it. That's how precious you are to God. The church in eternity past. Well, that's the origin of the church. What about the cost of the church? How much? Notice the text now. We're in Ephesians 5. It says, He gave Himself up for her. Wow. He gave Himself up for her. In order for Jesus to have this bride, He was going to have to purchase her. And the Bible says we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He gave Himself up for her. He went into the slave market and looked at someone who had the background of a harlot and decided that He would purchase her and clean her up and sanctify her and marry her so that she could sit on the throne with Him for all of eternity. That was God's plan. And so the Bible says that Jesus died for us. That's how much he loved the church. How much does he love the church? He loves the church so that he might die for the church. And by the way, husbands, though I'm not speaking to you specifically today, and I am a husband too, the Bible says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wow. And so the cost of the church is the death of Jesus Christ. Can we take lightly the fact that God was willing to go through all that so that his son would have a bride to sit with him on the heavenly throne? Isn't that truly amazing? That's the cost of the church. What about the condition of the church? Well, he found her when she was in a lot of sin. Let's just put it that way. I already implied that the imagery is that of him purchasing a harlot, but sexual sin isn't the only kind of sin in the world. There are lots of other sins. And if we had a testimony meeting today, we'd hear that Jesus redeemed some of you out of alcoholism, some of you out of a life of deep shame because of the way in which you were treated or because of what you have done. Deep shame. And that's how he found us. He found us as sinners. Yesterday I was in a taxi cab trying to convince my driver that he needed a savior. And he says, well, I asked God to forgive me. And he said, remember, he said, I don't have that many sins. Anybody here today who doesn't have that many sins? Well, if you define sin as killing your mother and robbing a bank, maybe he doesn't have those many sins. But how about selfishness being a sin? How about the fact that the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength? Are you doing that? That's the first commandment. Let's not even get to number two. He found us in a lot of sin. Is it okay if we frankly admit that we're messed up people? I have a friend who said to a relative, I'm going to be a pastor of a church. And he named the church, and she was very upset. She says, I think that the church is full of vipers. He said, well, do you think that the world is any better? And she had to think about that a little bit and said, no, I guess the world isn't any better. And then he said this, here's the difference. We know we're vipers. So we know that we need a Savior, and we know we need God's grace. That's the thing that differs us from the people of the world. This is Pastor Lutzer. My friend today, perhaps this message came to you and you are sick and tired of the church, particularly those of you who have been hurt by the church. Churches sometimes hurt people. And you've gone through a very difficult experience. Would you be sure to not give up on the church, even if for certain circumstances you might have to attend a different one? And by the way, tune in to Running to Win next time as this message continues. We all need it.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Church We Love, the ninth message in a 10-part series on what we believe and the difference it should make. Next time on Running to Win, more about the Church Universal. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.